This quote is from The Perfect Mile by Neil Boscom. My son David gave me a copy. This is on page 57. Before stopwatches, cinder tracks, and perfect records, man ran for the purest of reasons, to survive. The saying goes that every morning in Africa, an antelope wakes up. It knows it must outrun the fastest lion or it will be killed. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest antelope or it will starve. It doesn't matter whether you are a lion or an antelope. When the sun comes up, you'd better be running if you are in Africa. Well, you know, that's going to change. Isn't it incredible the way things have gone downhill since the Garden of Eden? And now what you see is basically nothing but bad news continually, whether you're looking at the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, or the human kingdom. And it all can be summed up fundamentally with survival. The animals are trying to survive, the plants are trying to survive, and the human beings are trying to survive, directly or indirectly, one way or the other. Well, there's a lot of good news that we don't want to overlook in the Bible that shows a change is coming and that there is a better way to live. There's going to be a change from striving to survive to living life in a way which involves thriving and flourishing. But that's not the way of life that we see on the earth today all around us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. Paul wrote, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." There's more than what this life has to offer, and there's more than just knowing something about Christ in this life. There's a better way of living coming. And that way is coming no matter who or what. No matter what comes up, that way of life is going to be brought to this earth and established. You just think about the news that you read and hear today. It's all basically bad and fundamentally useless. What I would like to do this afternoon is encourage all of us to flush all of that bad news out and fill our minds with these things that we're going to go through today. I got to noticing the steady diet that we're fed every day. You know, there's a war in Afghanistan, and there's people starving and being butchered in Somalia, children and women. You have the war going on in Libya and in Syria. You have Iran developing nuclear weapons. You have Europe in big trouble economically. You have Russia calling the U.S. a bunch of parasites. You have China hacking in and stealing everything they can from the U.S. You have the United States and the Western world teetering on economic trouble, seems like every day. And just one dramatic and overly melodramatic news presentation after the other reminds us of this. You have political to-ing and fro-ing in Washington to the point to where it just gets absolutely sickening. And you're told one thing and turns out to be wrong, it's actually another thing. You have weather that is just going from extreme to even more extreme. Tornadoes and floods and fires and heat. And drought, and hurricanes possibly, and earthquakes. And I got to thinking, we need a break. We need to give our circuits a break. First of all, maybe not listen to and read so much of that stuff, because it's prophecy being fulfilled, so it's going to happen. And second of all, fill our minds with the things of God, because He's opened our mind to understand the things that He's given us. And pour our energy and our concentration and our focus on the things that we know about God and His Word now and what's coming later, and trust Him to take care of all this chaos and confusion and utter nonsense that goes on around us locally, nationally, and internationally on a daily basis. Now, I want to show you what I'm talking about. These are not new scriptures, but they're wonderful scriptures. And they're scriptures we need to pay attention to and think about. We can easily overlook them. We can relegate them, let's say, to a certain part of the year, and otherwise it's like they're taboo and off limits, but they aren't. They're always on limits. Let's notice here now in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. When we go to bed at night, we ought to have peace. We ought to be able to turn loose what happened during the day and what we think is going to happen tomorrow. Turn loose of all of that and just put that all in God's hands and go to sleep and peacefully rest. That's what we should be able to do. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then the next day, as we go through the day, it shouldn't be a day filled with pressure and stress and distress and push, push, push and drive, drive, drive and demands, demands, demands and pull and tug and pull and tug and pull and tug. That's not healthy. And that's not God's way. And that's just living life the way the world lives it. And God has called us to a better way of life than that. It has to do with what we fill our minds with and our conversations with and our day with. The things of God. The things that He gives us in the way of understanding and knowledge and goals and aspirations and looking into the future and being able to look to where He wants us to go one day. Be a part of His kingdom and part of His family. And then we're not caught up in the groundswell of this world and its ways and its worries and its trouble and its chaos and its hopelessness and doubt and fear and just attempt to survive, survive, survive like they do. In other words, like the animals in Africa, get up and run for your life until the day's over. And then tomorrow, get up and run for your life again until the day's over. Just survive, survive, survive instead of flourishing and thriving in peace, contentment, and fulfillment. There's so much of that in the Bible. It says here, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, fill your mind with these things. Think on these things. Force your mind to come away from what's troubling you to this place and to these things. And put what you are worried about in God's hands. He'll take care of that. Verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, when we have been called and chosen and placed in God's church and filled with His Spirit, or if our children have been sanctified, if as a basic fundamental way of life we're not happy, something's wrong, and if as a basic fundamental way of life we don't have peace that passes all understanding, something is wrong. We shouldn't live lives filled with tension and always behind and never able to quite relax and enjoy a change of pace, but always under pressure, never quite able to catch up or get ahead, and always troubled, and can't sleep and rest and relax and change what we're thinking about to other things, and then get back to that tomorrow when we need to as far as our responsibilities. If we can't do that, we need to change. We need to repent because something is wrong. We shouldn't be pressed down by all the bad news. We should be lifted up by all the good news about the best way of life that's coming for everyone. I just want us to go through some of these basic scriptures here in this sermon and fill our minds with them, because we can easily overlook them or forget them, and they get pushed out by the way of life that we see in this world today, instead of brought in by the way of life that we've been called to and that's coming for the whole world later. Let's turn over here to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Just look at this way of life right here. When we see what's happening around us today, we can begin to think, well, this is never going to change. This is never going to be solved. This is never going to be taken care of. More news on top of more news on top of more news that's bad, bad, bad. Drought, drought, drought. Crop failure, crop failure. Get ready for tornadoes. Get ready for heat. Get ready for cold. Get ready for hurricanes. Get ready for earthquakes. Get ready for stock markets collapse. Get ready for bad jobless report. Bad employment report. Get ready for credit downgrade. Here it comes, over and over and over, just a tidal wave. Higher crop prices, higher gas prices, more crime, more disease, more, 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 bad, 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 wrong, wrong, wrong. And that's the world we live in. But we've been called out of that world, and we know the answers to all of that, and we know that we've been called to a way that is peaceful, satisfying, balanced, filled with inspiration and hope. Now, and even more so later. But you know what? We have to think about that. We have to pray about that. We have to study about that. And we have to talk about that. Look at what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. And this is talking about the way it could have been and wasn't, but the way it will be later, coming. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. This applies individually and to the church, but later it will be throughout the whole world, starting with Israel and the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but taking in every human being, because God's law will be obeyed. And look at the results. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. In other words, children. Now just think about this. Do you believe this? Can we comprehend this? Can we absolutely process this? Can we make this a part of our innermost core realization? The time is coming when every single baby that's born will be totally healthy. There'll be no deformities. There'll be no diseases. There'll be no problems whatsoever with their health. There'll be no miscarriages, no stillbirths, certainly no abortions. Just robust, healthy, perfect little boys and girls because of God's blessing. We don't have that now, that's for sure. All these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. You get out in the country, and nothing but blessings, blessings, blessings. You go into the city, more blessings and more blessings. A wonderful place to live in the cities that will be there in the kingdom of God, and a wonderful place to live in the rural areas. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. Cattle that are healthy, that have healthy offspring. They're not in jeopardy in terms of dying. They don't have to be injected with all kinds of medicines just to stay alive or growth hormones just to get heavy enough to bring a lot of money into the owner. Just healthy cattle, healthy sheep and lambs and flocks. No diseases whatsoever. No bird flu, no coccidiosis, no black leg, no brucellosis in the milk supply. Just healthy animals, healthy meat, healthy eggs, healthy milk. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. In other words, the food chain, the fruits, the vegetables. Perfect, beautiful, tasty, healthy food, fruits, figs, apples, oranges, grapes, peas, beans, corn, everything natural and right and good, nothing genetically altered or modified. No pesticides and no fertilizer and no herbicides to be found anywhere. You can just pull a peach off the tree and maybe clean it off a little bit and just eat it right there. And there will be nothing that jeopardizes your health whatsoever. When I say you, I'm talking about the people in the kingdom of God. Do we believe this time is coming? Do we believe this is possible? See, instead of us getting discouraged when we go to the store or when we go to the fruit market and we see what's there and how careful we have to be, and we bring it home and we eat it and it's okay and we're glad to have it, but there's something missing. We need to look ahead and realize that's going to all change. God will help us now, but it's coming. It's all going to change. Our hope is not just in this life. Then we are most miserable. Our hope is in the life that's coming, and we know it's true. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto. He shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Just this past week, there was news that salmonella has broken out in ground turkey meat that's manufactured somewhere. So now it just gets distributed all over the country, and now they're having to recall all of it because somebody's died from salmonella that was in the ground turkey meat. You know what amazes me? What amazes me is that there's not more of that kind of thing happening. Imagine the time coming when there will never be any of that, ever. Ever. Just good, wholesome, clean, pure, unaltered, natural, healthy food for everybody. The Lord shall command a blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Eternal, and they shall be afraid of you. They shall respect you. They're not going to harm you because they know they'll have to answer to God. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give you. A better translation, promises unto your fathers to give you. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. You're not going to be loaded down with debt and interest, so that by the time you pay off your house, you have paid as much on interest as you have on the principal. In other words, the price that you were quoted for the house in 30 years is doubled because of interest. Well, the time is coming when there will be a different economic system, and all of that will be gone, and you're not going to be loaded down with a bunch of debt. Human beings won't be. And you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. That was Israel then, and in the kingdom of God, that's not going to be something that's necessary. But if there is some lending, there's not going to be any usury attached to it. There will be laws to regulate that. And notice, to give rain unto your land in his season. You know the time is coming when we get the rain, it'll be nice, it'll be wonderful, but it'll be too late for the crops. It'll be too late for the grass. It's not only that we need rain, we need it at the right time. We need it at the right time so then we can plant. And then we need it at the right time so what's been planted will come up and get watered. And we need it at the right time so it can be brought to full maturity. So the time is coming when that's the kind of rain we'll have. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above and you shall not be beneath, if you will hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. Every evil known to man will be wiped out and replaced by nothing but right and nothing but good things. That's what we need to be thinking about, studying about, talking about, anticipating, looking forward to. That's how we ought to answer all the bad news that comes our way on a daily basis. Answer it with good news. We've been called out of all that. We're not caught up in that. Okay, who's going to be the next president? Who's going to be the next vice president? Who's going to solve all these problems? No, we're caught up in, we know who's going to be the king of this earth, and we know how he's going to go about changing everything, and we know that he's called us out of all that into his way of life, and that he'll be with us now. So I want to load my mind up and load my thoughts up with that, and answer all this bad stuff with this good stuff. Your circuits get a little bit of relief that way. You begin to have peace come over you that passes all understanding. You can begin to kind of sit back and relax and put it in God's hands and know that he exists, the Bible's inspired, he's going to do exactly what he says. And he's going to handle all this other stuff going on around here. In the meantime, he's going to help us stay out of it and walk through it and on toward the kingdom of God. When I hear about all these horrible drug wars and everything having to do with drugs, I think, well, the time is coming when there will be no drugs anywhere on earth. There will be no cocaine, no marijuana, no meth. There will be no pharmaceutical industry. All that is grown in the way of poppies that supply heroin, all of that will be obliterated. No more specially equipped submarines to carry tons of cocaine across the Atlantic and dump it into Europe. No drug factories. No massive armies equipped with battlefield weapons to transport the drugs up into the U.S. No lives totally ruined. Right now, there are people walking around who've never touched drugs who will be introduced to them this coming week and in a month be hooked on it. The young people. Just so some idiot can make money. All that's going to be done away. All extreme weather gone. We'll have seasons, but not extreme seasons. Can you imagine a world where there'll never be another tornado, another hurricane, another tsunami, another earthquake, another flood, another drought? The deserts won't be expanding, they'll be contracting. And finally, there won't be any deserts. All extreme weather gone. No more crime. No more prisons. No prisons. No crime. No courts. Women and kids, if they wake up and they've had plenty of rest, they'd like to see what it's like outside at midnight, and they'd like to see the moon and the stars and breathe that nice fresh air, can go outside and just go for a walk and not even be harmed in any way. Be completely, perfectly, totally saved. They certainly wouldn't do that today, or they certainly should not do that today. But what I think about when I hear about somebody disappearing, and you hear about it every day, I think, oh, I'll be so thankful when that will never happen again. No kidnappings whatsoever. No crime, no prisons, no disease, no hospitals, no clinics. Not a single disease to be found anywhere on earth. Nothing. No measles, mumps, polio, pneumonia. No infections. No superbugs. No heart attacks, strokes, cancer. None. Absolutely no diseases found anywhere. And no industry to try to deal with those diseases. Only health. No mental institutions. Strong mental health and physical health. Health will be at its prime. There will be stamina. There will be strength. People will get up in the morning and say, I feel so good, I can hardly stand it. I can hardly wait to go to work. I feel great. Nothing hurts. I'm not tired. I feel tremendous. That's how they will feel. That's the way health will be. How many days do we get up and think, I feel so good today, it's unbelievable? Well, you know, we can feel that way. But imagine all over the world that's how people feel. How are you doing? I feel great. How are you doing? Back hurts, head hurts, stomach hurts, knee hurts, foot hurts, hand hurts. I got hurt on top of hurt. And I'm tired. Don't ask me again, because then I get mad just thinking about it. Wars and weapons gone. No more war. Can you imagine a world without any war whatsoever, without any weapons of war, and no schools for teaching war, no colleges? None. Can't find it anywhere. No implements of war. If you add all of the budgets of all of the nations on earth today, the amount of the yearly budget set aside for, they call it defense, when it's actually war making, is just staggering. It drags down the monetary flow of every nation just so they can wage war. And there's new weapons being invented almost weekly. The economic situation will change drastically in the world tomorrow and the time that's ahead. The greed, the avarice, the malice, the heartlessness, where devious people will just crush innocent people to get what money they have. The conniving and criminality and under the table and behind the closed doors, kind of wheeling and dealing, gone. There will be fairness. There will be hard work. There will be money that's earned and then shared. The systems that will be in place will not be like the systems we have today, even remotely. Now look, when we hear about all this stuff happening on Wall Street and Main Street and in Washington and in London and in Europe and in the banking industry and so on and so forth, rather than let that just load us down, let's look past that and think about the way it'll be in the kingdom of God and how economies will be managed, and then how our personal situation can be handled like that in our own small way, and fill our minds with that rather than just being agitated and frustrated and irritated at hearing that the tax money coming out of the money that we work so hard for goes off somewhere and some bureaucrat just blows it and wastes it on nothing, and you have no say in it. Rather than getting frustrated by that, just put that in God's hands and look forward to the time when the economy will be based on this book and you'll be a part of administering it. False ministers and false religion gone. All replaced by true ministers and the true church and the true way of life. Because now religion has become an industry of figuring out a way to get the money of people one way or the other, through scare tactics, through emotion, through false promises, and get that coming in, and then build this big cathedral and build this big mansion and have these private airplanes and these limousines and these getaway trips, and then come in and yell and stomp and beller and bawl and get some more, and not a shred of truth being taught and not a single solution being shown to the people who are sitting there waiting to be fed. It's all going to be replaced by right things and by a better way. Let's think about that. Let's study about that. Let's talk about that. Let's eagerly look forward to that. It changes the way our day goes. Otherwise, we can get to thinking things look pretty bleak, pretty hopeless. Nope. They actually look pretty bright, but pretty great when you put what I'm talking about in the middle of all the bad news. Let's notice Leviticus chapter 26. And we have to do what we can do now, of course. We have to be responsible, and God will help us to do what we need to do now. But there's much more than what we're doing now. And there's much more than what we see in this life. And we've been called to see that and to announce that and to preach and publish that. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Imagine rain, just nice, slow, warm, or cool, or clean rain, whatever the case might be and whatever the need might be. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. and I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And that's the way it was in ancient Israel in the promised land under Joshua when they obeyed God. And notice verse 9. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you, and you shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and be your God, and you shall be my people. Could have been that way all along, but they would not obey God. It can be that way in God's church, and among God's people, and it will be that way, and much more, in the soon coming kingdom of God for everyone. Let's just take time to treat ourselves to scriptures that tell us about that. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 11. We read about in the animal kingdom, it's a matter of survival. And it seems that every animal preys on other animals and has other animals preying on them. Well, that's all going to change. Can you imagine a world that instead of the antelope getting up in the morning and running as hard as they can, and the lion getting up every morning and running as hard after the antelope as they can, they're just frolicking around in the field having fun with one another? Can you imagine the nature of animals being so changed that they dwell with one another freely? There's no preying. There's no devouring. There's no cornering and destroying among the animals, but rather there's dwelling in peace and dwelling in harmony and dwelling in safety. Some might say, well, that would mean there will be so many animals that overrun the earth. God will take care of that. He will govern that. He's quite able to calculate how many animals there will be and how they will be healthy and hardy and how they will no longer be violent but will be peaceful toward human beings and toward one another. Let's read about it here in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 4. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and prove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the justice system will be totally overhauled. There will never be a wrong verdict, a bad verdict, an unjust sentence, and someone going free that shouldn't go free. There will be perfect justice. Every time, no exception. Righteousness will guide everything. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Verse 6, and the wolf also shall dwell with a lamb. They certainly wouldn't dwell with one another right now, but they will then. And the leopard shall lie down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Do we believe that? Can we think about that and talk about that and envision that and come to the point where we realize this is actually going to happen and then long for that time? And instead of worrying about the way it is now, we're concerned. Instead of bogging down in that, we lift our thinking past that over to the time that's talked about here. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child shall play on the hole of the asp, the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den, in the viper's den. You wouldn't want to do that now. But see, the nature of snakes will change then. We're talking about a time when wasps and ticks and mosquitoes and bugs and spiders and snakes, not going to be a problem. They're not going to be a menace. They're going to be a thing of the past, and they'll either be wiped out or greatly reduced, and the nature changed to where there's no longer a problem. How often do we think about that? How often do we long for that? How often do we imagine what that's going to be like? It's not here now. We have to deal with it now, but this is not where our hope is. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. The whole world will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. I believe that. I think we need to think about that, talk about that, imagine that. Everybody who talks to everybody else will know the truth about Jesus Christ and his law and his word and his way of life. And it will be premium and number one in their lives every day. You don't find that anywhere now. What's happening more and more is standards and values and ethics are just simply going out the window, replaced by whatever is expedient. I was talking to this young man that came over to fix our air conditioner. He's got a company, and he's had one, I think, for 13 years. And he said the number one problem he has is finding people who are dependable. People who not only will show up on time, but just show up at all. And he said it's very rare. He said, right now I have two. And you can be sure they're never going to be laid off, and they're going to be paid well. But the rest, I never know what they're going to do. They weren't trained to do that at home. And he was talking about a job he was out on, and it had gone past 5 o'clock, and it's going to go on into 6 or 7 or 8 o'clock, and it had to be finished. And he said, in the winter, this business kind of gets slow. But in the summer, you got to work when you have to work. And then in the winter, it evens it all out. And so here he is, the owner of the company, and he's ready to go all the way to 8 o'clock, and here are these workers on his payroll say, well, you know, it's getting late, and it's hot, and we're tired, so we're going to stop right now. And he said, you have to be kidding. Are you kidding? He said, nope, we're not going to finish up. We're done for the day. We're going home. And so he, by himself, had to stay there and finish that job. And he said, don't think that's rare. That's commonplace now. And I've talked to other business people, and they told me it's very hard to find an honest, dependable, hardworking, ethical employee. You can trace it right back to the home, right back to the parents, and right back to the fact that God's not in the middle of that home. Now, we can change that in our lives, and we can establish what ought to be established in our homes and with our youth and teach them how to work and stay with it and do it right. But it's not going to happen in the world at large. But it is going to happen everywhere in the kingdom of God. He told me there's so many people that if they would just understand that there's so many jobs available for people who are needed in the trades and doing technician work like air conditioning, plumbing, car repair, and all that kind of thing. He said, they can't find enough people who will do that. And when they find them, they can't find people who will do a really good job and charge a really good price. He said, take me for instance. I learned this trade from my neighbor, and he said, I'm not getting rich, but I'm pretty well off, and I make a good living for my family. Now, why is that? Well, because he has certain principles that he was taught, and now he's teaching his children that. Well, in the kingdom of God, that's going to be brought back. But we can bring it back now in our lives and in God's church. And I can hardly wait when that's the way everybody will live, because the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the oceans are covered with water. And when you talk about the knowledge of the Lord, it's talking about his way of life, his standards, his laws. Let's notice Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah 14, verse 5, the last part. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him, with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. So there will be summer and winter, and there will be spring and fall, but not extreme weather. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. King over all the earth? That's coming. Most people don't believe that. They don't care one way or the other. They're all wound up because the NFL settled a labor dispute and we're going to have an NFL season after all. That's the most important thing. They can have their tailgate parties and scream and yell for their idols. One man described it all this way. We have just seen the conclusion of labor talks between billionaires and millionaires, owners and players. That should not be what makes our day. What those things should be are what we find in God's Word. Living God's way of life and anticipating the time when all people will live God's way of life because God will be the king over the whole earth. And when that happens, everything changes for the good forever and there'll be no going back. I long for that day. I like to fill my mind with those thoughts. I like to discuss it at length and study about it. And I find there's a kind of a settling comes over me and peace that passes all understanding. And all of a sudden, what has me all wound up and worried in this society goes out the window, and what God has to say about what's coming comes in the window, and now I'm thinking on those things. What we read in Philippians. Think on these things. It changes our life. It changes our day. It changes everything. It's not that we are irresponsible and no longer do our jobs. We just put our jobs in proper perspective. And all of a sudden, instead of somebody saying something or somebody telling us to do something or something going wrong, and now it ruins our day and ruins our night of rest and starts to affect our health, we don't let that happen. We just do what we can do and put it in perspective. Because the things that really count with us is what God says in His Word and the way of life we've been called to now and the way of life that will be established all over the face of the earth in the kingdom of God. That's what we are about. That's why the Bible calls us pilgrims, strangers, foreigners, just passing through. The world's problems are not our problems. We navigate through that and head toward the promised land. And eagerly anticipate it and think about it and pray about it and talk about it and learn more about it and understand it more deeply. And that puts everything else in perspective. It's so easy for us to get all bound up in the spring wound so tight about what I call so what. So what? Up against the backdrop of God's kingdom, God's plan of salvation, eternal life, God's Spirit, God's calling, God's church, God's work. What does it amount to, really? Is it going to keep you from any of those things? Nope. Then what's the problem? What we ought to be concerned about is when something comes up that we let keep us from those things. God, the Bible, prayer, study, living that way, seeking that way. Otherwise, put it in perspective. And go to bed at night and say, you know, I might lose that sale. I might have made a mistake over there. I'm sorry. But I'm going to go to sleep now and wake up in the morning and seek the kingdom. And as long as I walk with God, that's where I'm going to end up. And when I end up there, here are some verses I'm going to fill my mind with describing what it's going to be like when Jesus Christ is the King. Let's notice Amos 9. I love the so-called minor prophets. They're chock full of wonderful things. Amos 9 and verse 13. Think about this, Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt, flowing with milk and honey. What are we going to do about the drought? We can pray about it and trust God to take care of it and do a little watering where we can. But we can gripe and complain about the weather all we want to. That's all in God's hands. And we know He's going to take care of us through whatever weather comes along. But let's start talking about and thinking about and praying about and studying about the weather in the kingdom when we will be able to do something about it, because we'll be in the government of God and it's going to be magnificent weather and magnificent farming. What a great thing to be a farmer then. The plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes him that sows seed. Verse 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, says the Lord thy God. And farming in those days will be something to behold. No pest, no root rot, no crop failure. Taste that hasn't been enjoyed for thousands of years, really. And as I've said, total health, total security, and total peace. Let's see a little window into that right over here in Zechariah chapter 8. You know, this science fiction this and fancy, fantasy, magic that doesn't interest me. What interests me is the truth. And it's far more exciting and far more gripping and far more amazing than anything Hollywood can come up with. Think about this. We read, think on these things. Whatsoever is true. Well, this is true. Think on these things. This is pure. Think on these things. Look at this. Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, in the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. In other words, people are going to live a long time and be in health and be alert. No Alzheimer's. No bedridden, warehousing, chock full of medicine, laying there totally helpless kind of living. Up and about and out and enjoying life and enjoying family. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Different streets, different city, different time. Happy people, laughing and running and jumping and doing things that are just fun. Nobody being violent to one another. Having fun. Challenging one another. Stretching yourself to where you're really challenged. And when you accomplish something, it'll be fun, but not based on pride and vanity and ego and I beat you and competition. And having real, wholesome, healthy living. It's what's described right here in Zechariah 8, 3 through 5. Look at Joel. Over here in Joel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 21. Joel 2:21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. And it'll come just at the right time and in the right amount. No more flooding, wiping out whole cities, inundating farmland. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. This is not fantasy. This is reality. We need to lock our minds and hearts and souls on this coming time for all mankind. Changes our day, our week, our month, our year. No matter how bad it's getting in the world, we do what we can do about our own situation, and put the rest in God's hands. This is Satan's world. We're not going to get locked up in it and carried along by it. We're going to get locked up into this and carried along by this. This is the truth. And we're looking forward to the time when all mankind will experience this and we'll be a part of administering it, and we're learning how now to teach it and live it. Let's notice Micah chapter 4. How often do we read all of these verses? Talk about them. Read them aloud. Read them as a family. Saturate our minds with them. Soak them up. There's never been a single human being who has ever lived, who has ever read Micah 4, verse 1 through 5, and understood everything to be understood in it. I don't care how often I've read it. Every time I read it, I see something that I didn't see before. I understand something better than I ever did before. Micah 4 and verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. Masses of people coming to Jerusalem and coming to other centers, and coming to want to be taught. They're going to want to know about the true God and how to pray and about the Bible and how to study. They're going to want to know about how to have happy marriages and how to have happy children. They're going to want to know about health and finances and farming and cooking and sports and music. They're going to want to know about the purpose in life and character building. And we're going to be there, and we're going to patiently and diligently and continually be teaching them. And they'll start to get it. They'll start to grasp it. You can just see the light go, bing, they got it. They want it, and they want more of it, and more of it, and more of it, and more of it. And we'll be there teaching them. And then they'll put it into practice, and things will settle down in their life and settle down in their family and settle down in their community. What a thrill. This is going to happen. That's what it says right here, verse 3, And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. What a thrill to be a part of all of that. And right now we're learning in a limited way in God's church, which is the kingdom of God in embryo, and training in living that way and being equipped in teaching that way that's coming. What a calling. Right over here in the book of Isaiah, let's go to a passage that talks about that. Isaiah chapter 65. We often read this and apply it to the second resurrection, and rightfully so, but it also applies to the millennium. The thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, when human beings will be on this earth and be growing in God's way of life and led by the government of God, of which we will be a part. It says here in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind, but be you glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more of that. Sadness and pain and suffering and agony and mourning and misery. Nope, it's all going to be gone. It's everywhere now. But we can look past that to a time when it won't be anywhere. And we'll be a part of replacing all of the sadness and sorrow and pain and suffering now with the joy and happiness and flourishing and successes at that time. Verse 20, There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And that is specifically, as Mr. Armstrong has said, applicable to the second resurrection and the 100-year period. But the conditions we're reading about here will be the conditions in the millennium for 1,000 years, preparing the world for this 100-year period. They shall build houses and inhabit them, verse 21. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build, and another inhabit. They shall not plant, and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands, and they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And in the kingdom of God, families are going to be reunited, and in the second resurrection, families are going to be reunited. It says their offspring with them. Isn't that going to be amazing? And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. What an incredible time. And that's our destiny. It's what we're training for now. So if you wake up at night and you're troubled and you can't sleep and you're pacing and you're in the grip of something that's just eating you up, lay it aside, pick up the Bible, and start filling your mind with these chapters. You'll be able to go in and go to sleep and relax and put all that was overburdening you in God's hands. Just relax and say, this is what I've been called to, and this is where I'm headed, and nobody can stop it. So I'm going to go to sleep on that thought. While we're here in Isaiah, let's go over here to Isaiah chapter 30. Once again, a passage that we apply to the second resurrection, and rightfully so, but this is also going to be what we'll be doing in the millennium. Kings and priests and teachers, Isaiah 30 and verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner any more, but your eyes shall see your teachers. And your ear shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. And I don't believe that's going to be like this. I don't think it's going to be, all right, here we are with all this power and might and glory and honor and majesty. And here are these people, these rebellious people. And they're trying to dart off here and dart off there and over here and over here and over there and over there. And I'm sure there'll be some that way. And that's where we read in Revelation where the rod of reproof will bring them around. But I think it'll quickly become more like this. They won't know which way to go. And so they'll wander off over here and we'll say, no, that's not it. And they'll wander off, no, that's not it. Come back over here. That's not how you use the money. You don't want to eat all that catfish. And that's not the way you discipline your child. This is the way. Walk you in it and then help them do it. And what a world it'll be when all of those things start to get some traction and it becomes the way of life as we go out into the millennium. I like to think about those things. Train for those things. Read about those times. Pray about what's coming in the kingdom. Address what I need to deal with now. With God's help, take care of my responsibilities as they come along, but that doesn't define me. And the trouble I have to work through or around in this world does not determine what my life is going to be. What defines me and determines what my life is going to be now and later on in the kingdom is what we've been reading here. That brings peace, hope, excitement, joy, and puts all the other stuff in perspective. Notice verse 23 of Isaiah 30. Then shall he give the rain of your seed, that you shall sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall your cattle feed in large pastures. Large pastures. Cattle feeding at peace and growing healthy and strong without being devoured and without being wiped out by some plague that comes sweeping through, as so often is the case nowadays. All of this is going to be brought about by Jesus Christ through the government of God, and we will be part of that mighty government. Turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Can we believe that? Can we understand that? Is that real? Do you think about that? Pray about that. Talk about that. Study about that. Wake up and put your mind on that. You're going to be a part of the government of God reigning with Jesus Christ and have tremendous power to bring about good and do away with bad. Right now it gets frustrating. It bothers me when I hear all this stuff and I can't do a thing about it. But then I think forward, and the time is coming when I can do something about it and replace sorrow and sadness with happiness and joy and failure and hideous outcomes with success and wonderful results. That's what it says right in the Bible. We've been reading it. Notice Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. Nobody can keep you from the first resurrection. Not even death can keep you from the first resurrection. God wants us to be in the first resurrection. We've been called early so we can be there. The only thing that will keep us from the first resurrection is if we drift away from God and neglect so great salvation, starting with daily prayer and daily Bible study and then obedience as a way of life. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Fine, I've heard that. Okay. Wait a minute. Take time to look at that and read that and think about that until you finally get to the point to where you actually, literally, in a practical way, really do believe that and can see you and me and all the rest of God's people in those positions, reigning with Christ. Think on these things. That's true. That's pure. That's lovely. That's wonderful. Stay in this book, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. See, all these things that come up that are so important, and other people think they're so important, and people around you think they're so important, and the world thinks it's so important, kind of pale into insignificance and kind of fade off the radar and out of the picture, when we have our minds on the things that really are important, the things of God, the calling, the plan of salvation, the planning for us to be in his government and reigning with him, the time when all the world will be totally changed from misery and suffering and wrongheadedness to health and happiness and right-mindedness. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, Revelation 1 and verse 5, and the prince of the kings of the earth, talking about us, and he'll be the prince, the leader, the ruler, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And he's going to make us kings and priests, and part of his government. That's our future. You can read about your future right there. That's it. That's a better way. That's the best way. And that's going to bring out the best way for the whole earth and all that are in this earth. Now we understand a little bit more, hopefully, the last two verses, if we consider all we've gone through today. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts 3:19, repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Refreshing, what a wonderful word. Restitution or restoring. A time when everything will smell good, taste good, feel good, sound good, look good, be good. Restored. We'll be a part of that. And we can have that now, and as far as it can go now, and then bring that about later when Christ establishes his government on the earth. And that's what we need to be filled with. And that's what takes preeminence. And everything else is second and third and fourth and tenth and not even on the list that we have to deal with in the world. And that's what ought to be on our mind. Every chance we can, have that on our mind. That's thinking on these things. You know, when we are filled with those things, it's healthy for our body and healthy for our minds. It's not overloading our circuits and tearing us down and lowering our immune system and gnawing away at our health and vital organs. It's replenishing them. It's renewing them. It's strengthening them. That kind of thinking. Those kind of aspirations. That kind of energy spent for those kind of goals. That's healthy and inspiring and brings about peace that passes all understanding. When we think about that and the way of life, then you can see how entertainment that's known as entertainment today will be totally replaced with a much better way of recreation and sports. Families that are called families today will be replaced with a family unit that was intended to be there from the beginning. And you can talk about many other things in conjunction with what we've gone through here today. And now I hope what Jesus Christ said we should be praying for means more, and I hope we'll be praying for this every day and mean it, because maybe we see a little bit more about what will happen when what he said, pray for this, actually takes place. Let's notice Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. In this outline of prayer he gave them when they asked him to teach them to pray, he said this, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Be praying, thy kingdom come. Well, when we really understand and take time to study it and talk about it and yearn for it, we can certainly with our whole heart pray, that's going to be so wonderful. Please bring your kingdom to this earth soon, because the changes will be so fantastically stunning. Thy kingdom come. Then it goes on to say, pray this, thy will be done. Which means no more disease, no more crime, no more poverty, no more wars, happiness and joy and health and peace. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's our life right now. We're praying that and we're trying to live that. And we're trying to inculcate that into our lives on a daily basis, all the while knowing that the training we're getting now will give us an opportunity to bring all of that to pass later in the kingdom of God. And thy kingdom will sweep the earth, and thy will be done will sweep the earth. Not just through the church and through our lives, but through the whole earth. And so that kind of contains a brief, succinct, nutshell description of what ought to be on our minds foremost. And first, thy kingdom come and all that means. Thy will be done and all that means. Now in the church and in our lives, and later in the future throughout the whole world for all mankind. Make sure that you take time to purposefully and in a planned way every day and a good part of the week to think on these things.